Oh, hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry. We're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. Man, a lot of stuff happening this week. Last week, if you heard the big show, we launched a brand new radio show called Just Plain Radio. Second episode aired today. I've gotten a flood of reaction to it. All positive, thank God, which is a nice change of pace for us here at Scuba Radio. But yeah, you know, I'm a certified diver because I do Scuba Radio. We have the World of Boating. We've done that show for a few years now. 6-7 years has been on the air. And we just started a new show called Just Plain Radio for aviation for private pilots. I'm actually learning to fly. Now, why? Because I want to get to my dive sites quicker. Okay, that's the truth. They all tie together. You know, it's kind of ironic, too. You put a show on like this, and you don't really know. You have an idea going in what kind of reaction you're going to get from the listeners, and hopefully it's positive. But, you know, I didn't realize how many emails and responses I'd get from our Scuba Radio friends that are already pilots. And they're kind of like going, Greg, welcome to the club kind of thing. Kind of like it was when I first started Scuba Radio. And it's great to get these comments. Here's one from Tim. He says, congratulations on Just Plain Radio. Now you have covered most of my hobbies. Sailing for the boat show, diving with Scuba Radio, and now he sent a picture of his plane too. This little single seat. Well, I guess it's a two seater. This is pretty high tech. This thing does 200 miles an hour. That's and it looks very Jetsons like. It looks like an experimental type of aircraft, I'm guessing.
And all we have to do now is Chasing Young Girls Radio, and we'll have all his hobbies covered.
Yeah. Oh. Well. Actually, he mentions that booze, beer, and rum. There's a hiccup in there.
Oh ho! I hear an hour starting in February of spirited radio.
Yeah. Well, we've flirted with the idea of doing rum radio before, but I don't know. We'll see. You know, I've managed to do enough damage to my liver with Scuba Radio, World of Boating, and these other shows, just hanging out when we're not doing those activities with folks out at the Tiki Bar. And things have a tendency to, I don't know, the beverages definitely flow. We don't mix the two, but God help us when we don't have to do one or the other. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like play hard, go home or something like that. I don't know.
What in the hell is wrong with you?
I don't know. It's too much. I got so much on my mind because I'm going through flight school now. We're doing Scuba Radio. Jimmy the Bubble Boy's in the new broadcast
facility. So what you're suggesting is complete sentences are beyond the realm of your control now?
Yes. It's not like we're a professional group or anything.
What about just restroom radio?
Well, okay. Now that you mentioned, I did just finish a big gulp.
I'm an expert.
And that's making me very uncomfortable. So we better just go to the phones because there's a lot of stuff in the diving world that we have to cover today on Scuba Radio. Helping us out initially is our buddy Bob Harris. He's on Scuba Radio now. Hey, Bob, how you doing?
I'm fine, Greg. How are you?
Good.
Like you're having too much fun.
As always. Now, Bob is the legislative liaison for the DEMA organization. Is that the fair title, Bob, or do you got another one now? How do we refer to you?
So, some people refer to a liaison. Some people refer to that very bad word, a lobbyist. But bottom line is I try to be, as you do, the ears and eyes and sometimes the voice of the scuba diving industry in Florida.
Yes, in Tallahassee. Working those governmental channels. And, you know, we have to have our eyes and ears opened up there somehow, because every once in a while somebody, one of those legislators gets a wild hair up there, you know what, and wants to do something that affects divers in the state of Florida, if not the entire country, because as Florida goes, so does the rest of the country a lot of times when it comes to dive-related issues, correct?
No, it's absolutely correct. There are things that have happened here first. There's been bills filed over the years to regulate the entire industry top to bottom, and we've had to fight those battles. There was the legislation a few years ago where all the dive stores were going to have to do air testing and have people come to their stores and monitor their providing air to divers and all kinds of things that we've had to fight through the years and to make sure that the industry is allowed to keep moving forward as it does every day.
Right. And one of the things you do up there, obviously year-round, is interface with some of these legislators that don't necessarily have divers' background or knowledge, and educate them as much as you can. But you also have orchestrated Dive Day at the Florida Capitol. It just happened this week. That was, what, Tuesday, right?
It was. We picked the very first day of the session when there'd be so many people from all around the state in the Capitol. We had a dive day, and it was a great day. We had dive flags throughout the entire courtyard between the old and new Capitol, so you couldn't miss them, and it was a really good day. We had great turnout from people, and we had a chance to talk to a lot of legislators and other people who have an interest in diving and some that want to learn more about the most important thing to us is to talk about the economic impact. People have no idea how much of an impact the economy in Florida is from diving because of all the divers that are certified to come here to dive in coastal waters or the caves or whatever it may be. And so we wanted to use this day as an opportunity to educate both legislators and the public about the impact of the diving industry in Florida.
Absolutely. Now, what about that, Bob? Do you happen to know what the dollar amount of the dive industry is just in the state of Florida off the top of your head? Because I know you gather this kind of info so you can throw it at them every once in a while. What's the latest figures you have, or do you?
Well, no exact figures, but we know parts of it. For example, we know that there are over 300 retail resort facilities in the state of Florida, over 60 manufacturers and other businesses dedicated specifically to diving-related products and so forth. We have over 3 million divers that reside in Florida at some point in time during the year that are certified and up to 3 million come to Florida. So the impact is in the hundreds of millions of dollars for Florida. Again, without the dive industry.
Right. Now, beyond that, when you do the dive day, you have all these booths set up and the legislators walk by and they get exposed to the diving community a little bit. And
Hold on. Bob, you're not actually exposing divers to the legislators, are you?
We try to do as much as we can, whatever way we can, to attract attention. We have in the past had lovely young divers in our premises to try to attract a little attention. It's worked well in the past. It will continue to work in the future.
Well, that's why Bill is finding out about this today and not before Tuesday. Because if he would have been up there, he would have exposed them to a side of the diving industry that probably wouldn't have put the most positive light on us. You hear what I'm saying?
Absolutely. We try to avoid those things, and so far we've been successful. But we are looking forward to Greg, someday you having a live show up there at the Capitol and interview some people going through. That would be awesome. We'd love to see the mermaids up there someday. And we're trying very hard to get the pool, the DEMA scuba pool, back out of the courtyard at some point in time, get some people in the water.
Yeah, that'd be good. Be a diver pool, that'd be a great spot for it. Was Governor Rick Scott up there? Was he wandering around the grounds Tuesday too, or no?
Yeah, he was. In fact, he walked right by. We were set up in the rotunda right there on the first floor, and he walked by from his office before he went up and gave his remarks. We also had several senators all walk by our booth and stop and talk to us, including two of the most powerful people in the Senate, who are both divers, by the way.
Nice.
Who stopped and talked to the people about locally about what they do for diving, and so it was, all in all, it was just a really, really good day for diving.
Well, good deal. All right. Well, thanks for checking in, and thanks for the update, Bob. We do appreciate it, and keep your good work going on up there in Tallahassee, okay?
Greg, thank you. I appreciate it very much.
You got it. There you go. That's Bob Harris, the legislative liaison in the state of Florida. You know, he works with the DEMA organization and helps us out.
Talk soon, Bob.
And it's good to get an update on that kind of stuff. Hey, coming up, one of our big friends, well, good friend in the dive industry, is now a senior citizen. And we're going to talk to him next. Stay close to the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explorer Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explorer Ventures, and just maybe why Explorer Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at ExplorerVentures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explorer Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explorer Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit ExplorerVentures.com. That's ExplorerVentures.com.
You suck. You have to survive when you're scuba diving 30 feet underwater. The next time you dive, suck air through Oceanic's new Delta 4 regulator with dry valve technology. DVT eliminates moisture, corrosion, and hose deterioration. The Delta 4 also features an FDX10 balanced diaphragm for years of hassle-free diving. So admit it, you suck. And you should be sucking on a Delta 4 by Oceanic.
You are a diver and have the Dive Flag shirt, hat, and bumper sticker to prove it. However, you can share your love of diving and ascend to a higher level with Dive Silver. Combining exquisite sterling silver with gemstones, Dive Silver is the perfect way to share your passion for the underwater world. From mantis to mermaids and everything in between, you'll find something truly unique to express your love of diving in the extensive line of Dive Silver jewelry. And at an affordable price. Go to DiveSilver.com and see for yourself. That's DiveSilver.com.
From Scuba Board may have been Naked Scuba Boy when he came into this world. That's probably what his parents called him. However, today, 55 years later, he joins us on Scuba Radio.
Talk louder. It's going to be hard for him to hear you.
You think? Pete from Scuba Board on Scuba Radio.
Hey, how you doing, Pete? Pete, how are you today?
How? Yeah. All right, yeah, he's a senior citizen today.
I am a senior citizen today.
Happy birthday to you, Pete.
Thank you. It's been a wonderful day down here in the warm Keys. I'm sitting here in my T-shirt and shorts.
Well, okay. Well, that's a good thing. It's kind of cold up in Orlando today, so I'm a little envious of you in that regard. But it is your birthday, so happy birthday from everybody here at Scuba Radio. And, of course, I'm sure you're getting a few of those through scubaboard.com as well, right, today?
I've gotten a lot on Facebook, a lot on Scuboard, and I don't want to rub it in, but I have yet to wear a wetsuit this year.
You have yet to wear a wetsuit.
It's been wonderful down here.
How about a bathing suit?
Awesome.
How about a bathing suit?
I do wear a bathing suit and a T-shirt so I don't scare the fish off.
Okay, good. Or the other divers, I'm guessing.
Or the other divers.
Yes, yes. But you've been doing a lot down there in the Keys lately. You're not slowing down in your wiser years, are you, Pete?
Wiser? I'm supposed to be wiser? I didn't get that memo.
Yeah, it figures. And and we'll tell me about it. What have you been doing down there in the Keys? Yeah, I know you were telling me about this coral restoration project you were involved with.
Yeah, I've been doing some stuff with the Coral Reef Foundation, Ken Niedermeyer, the Lorax for the Coral. And Ken is an amazing individual who has taken on the world on his shoulders. And he has this coral nursery, which I've got to go play in, where I get to actually cut coral with side cutters and hang them up on little PVC trees like I'm decorating a Christmas ornament so they can grow to about basket size. And we get to go plant them on the reefs.
Yeah, and that's a good thing because, some of that stuff has been damaged down there in the Keys. So you're basically creating these coral gardens, and so you've been helping him out in that effort to do so. Did you just do this once or went out in a day and did that with him, or are you kind of doing this on an ongoing basis down there in the Keys?
Oh, definitely on an ongoing basis. In fact, I think I told you about my boat. One of the reasons for having a boat is so that I don't have to be dependent upon anyone else to get a ride out there when I need to go diving. Need to go take care of the reefs.
Yeah, well, and that's another project you've been doing. It's not retirement. Doesn't look like it's anywhere on your horizon right now. You're keeping pretty busy. So this boat you have, you've called it the what?
The SS Scuba Board.
Of course.
Welcome aboard the Scuba Board.
And so what kind of, what did you do? What did you buy this at like a flea market and decide that you're going to make this your own little scuba vessel or what?
Actually, I was a mechanic for, and the readers don't know, and the listeners don't know, but I was a mechanic for 30 years. So I have thousands upon thousands, tens of thousands of dollars worth of tools. Wow. And one of the dive boats here was in trouble. They couldn't get some pieces apart, and I go, well, I've got the puller for that. And so after I helped him with his dive boat, he gave me this 23-foot antique Phoebra.
Yeah.
You can't find it. You won't find one. I'll guarantee you. It's a unique boat. And so I've been restoring it for the last 6-7 months.
Okay. And you just put it into the, it gave it its first sea trial right after the first of the year, right?
That's right. January 2nd was its first time in the water with me, and it performed flawlessly. There's a couple things I've got to do. Like I realized en route that my lights didn't work on the trailer, and that's what I've been doing on my birthday today is rewiring the trailer.
Well, that's always you got to be keeping yourself busy. Keep
you,
that brain
well,
active. Wire the boat, Sudoku, whatever you got to do to keep that mind active.
Got to keep that mind working to ward off dementia.
Right.
And quite frankly, you've got to work hard.
Well, dementia makes for good radio, so we just let it go.
Well, there you go. That explains a lot there.
Right. That's our excuse. Dementia.
But no, it's been fun down here in the Keys. You know, lots of diving going on. We dive year-round. Lots of boats going out. Lots of dive-offs from here. I was on the Vandenberg just last month. In fact, I dove it in a Santa suit. And I was there as a couple from Texas got engaged here at depth here in Florida.
Nice.
That's narcosis.
Maybe.
There's no question. Well, one of them is completely insane.
He is Twitter painted, that's for sure.
Well, what is what about this boat you have? How big is this vessel? How many
it's
divers can it handle?
23-foot.
23-footer?
It's a private boat. Make sure everyone knows that. This is not for charter.
Right.
It's a 23-foot. I could probably put 4 or 5 friends on there and go out with it.
How about,
have a dive ladder yet.
How about radio hosts with a case of dementia? How many of those can you fit on
there? Bill is always welcome on the boat.
Okay, good. Well, he counts as two. But
well, you said case of dementia, and he's got the worst case of dementia I've ever seen.
Yeah, well, it's either that or it's more of a personality.
We'll bring a case of beer.
A case
there
of beer?
There we are. A case of beer beats a case of dementia every day.
Okay.
I would agree. Probably keeps it away.
That might be a new brand we need to look, maybe start.
Dementia
beer.
Well, there's the Arrogant Bastard beer, which I think describes a lot of us in the industry.
Okay, we'll just leave that one there. but I like it. Well, Pete, I just wanted to call you up and get an update from you. Happy birthday. I don't want to keep you from your festivities and wiring your vessel because I want it fully operational when we come down there.
Exactly. And actually, I just finished, as you guys called, so you timed it right for once, Bill. Come on down. The diving's great. It's awesome. Very minimal exposure protection. I'll come introduce you to the coral forest where you can see something truly unique in this world.
I have no doubt about it. All right, Pete. Happy birthday, man. Take care, my friend.
Later, my friends.
There
bye-bye.
You go. That's Pete from Scuba Board, NetDoc, if you go to scubaboard.com. And you can go there and wish him happy birthday. Happy 55th birthday, by the way. So, you know, I'm going to hang with him because he has a boat down there. Maybe he'll take me out on his boat. And also because he'll get me the senior citizen discount at Wendy's.
Yeah, but you have to go early to catch the early bird.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah, you'll be eating dinner at 4:30 in the afternoon.
Yeah, God bless him. Hey, staying young is something we try hopelessly to do here at Scuba Radio. And one of the ways we do this is by going to the Surf Expo. And I did that yesterday. I got reports on some new dive gear and the talent that was on display there. Impressive. We'll talk about that and have our buddy, the dive god, on here in just a bit. And did I mention Jonathan Bird's Blue World TV show? We got him coming up, too. Stay close.
Scuba Radio.
Scuba.
Scuba Radio.
For you this week, if you go to scubaradio.com's Facebook page, there's a new link up there to a video of our buddy Neil Watson. Now, I hung out with Neil at the Surf Expo. We both went there to see the latest dive-related stuff that we could find at the Surf Expo, which is a trade show for surfers and bikini models. Because let's face it, swimwear is an integral piece of gear for scuba divers, so it's important for people that are upstanding individuals in the dive industry like myself and Neil Watson to stay on top of what is coming out when it comes to, the latest swimwear. What, Bill? Well, you're looking at me with some kind of, like, envious type look that, like, God, I wish I was you.
Actually, what I'm thinking is that Neil Watson didn't say that he needed to be on top of it. He did say it was okay if it was on top of him.
Maybe. But there is a video, and it has nothing to do with
swimsuit to do with that.
Models. But literally just this week, Neil sent me a link from the TV show to
brand
tell
spanking new video.
The truth.
This is pre-broadcast.
Believe it or not, it was the last episode of To Tell the Truth and the last segment, the last guest.
Really?
Are you sure? In 1978,
hosted Joe Garagiola.
Yep.
Actually, I thought it was the opening segment, though.
Nope. It was the third segment. The clip is just of the third
segment.
Right,
I understand that.
But it's of Neil Watson on To Tell the Truth in 1978, and the people that owned the TV show made it available to him. They posted it up on YouTube, and it's on the Scuba Radio fan page on Facebook. So go to, just type in Scuba Radio on Facebook, or you can find the link from it from scubaradio.com and go there and take a look at this video. Neil's been on the show many times, good friend of the show. This is literally from 1978 when he was featured prominently on the show. It is hilarious, especially when you have heard and you kind of connect some of the stories he has shared with us on this show over the years. It is great stuff. Hey, coming up, a Dan tip, and then Jonathan Bird from Jonathan's Blue World TV show. That's coming up next. Stay close.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Scuba.
Radio.
Prepare to rig for dive!
Your surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Scuba Radio, Diver's Consumer Tip number 248. No scuba certification agency currently recognizes watching SpongeBob SquarePants cartoons as educational reference material.
Liar, liar, plants for hire.
But maybe they should.
It's pants on fire, Patrick.
Well, you would know, liar.
So now, here's a Dan safety tip you can really use.
And yes, that means it's time for the real Dan Good Diving safety tip. And in the studio today is Nick Bird, CEO and Chief Medical Officer for Dives Alert Network. How you feeling today, Nick?
Feeling great, Greg. How about you?
Feeling better.
Were you sick?
Yeah, well, I was seasick.
Oh, that's no fun.
Nah, actually, I was just kidding. I was just reliving my Oscar-winning performance of my vomiting scene from the Dan video. Oh, yeah. Good times.
Uh-huh.
Have you ever been seasick?
Oh, have I? No one's immune to it, and it gets most of us at one time or another.
Yeah, I gotta admit, even outside my acting debut, it's gotten me a lot. But I want to beat it. Is there any way I can do this once and for all?
Greg, I wish I could tell you that there's a foolproof way, but there's really no guaranteed method. Spending more time on the water can help, because you become more resistant. But even the most seasoned sailors can get queasy.
Okay, how do I hedge my bets at least?
First, don't stress about it, because it's common, and it's just a physical reaction to motion. A lot of people experience it, and if you're ever on a dive boat that says that they've never had someone get seasick, you're probably their first customer.
So resign myself to the fact that it's just going to happen?
No, just don't stress about it or get embarrassed if it does.
But how do I avoid it?
Start with taking care of yourself the night before you dive. Take it easy on the alcohol, eat well, and get a good night's sleep.
All right, look, if I'm going to lay off the drinks, I need to know why.
The better you feel, the better able your body is going to be able to adapt to conditions.
Okay, that makes sense. But what else?
Make sure you have a little something in your stomach when you get on board. I know it sounds crazy, but it makes a difference. Stay away from heavy and greasy food, but do try to eat a little something.
What recommendations do you have in winning the mental game? Sometimes I think part of the problem is that I half expect to get sick, and so I do.
And that's a really good point. The mental side can be a big issue. Sounds trite, but the best you can do is to try not to think about it. Let your mind wander or focus on anything else besides the motion you're experiencing.
If that doesn't work, what? Crawl into the cabin and lie down until you get to the dive site?
Exactly the opposite. Actually, stay on deck and in the middle of the boat if you can. The fresh air will do you good.
Jonathan is all set. Jonathan on line 2.
Let your body adapt to the motion, because what your eyes see will match what your body is feeling. Your mind will be less confused. Stand up too, as your legs can also help to absorb the motion.
What if all this doesn't help? Can I still dive if I get sick?
As long as you're still up for the dive and not too dehydrated from getting too sick, absolutely. In fact, seasick divers are usually the first off the boat. Getting under the waves and the motion will also make you feel better, and the dive will get your mind off your stomach. But if the seasickness takes too much out of you, I'd recommend staying on the boat.
That's the last thing I'd want to do.
I know, but if you're not physically up for the dive, it's just not worth the risk.
Can't I just take a pill?
You can, but understand that there's no magic pill. There are lots of medications out there, but no guaranteed remedy. Part of this is a trial and error to see what works best for you.
I find ginger works best on the natural side.
A lot of divers have luck with ginger, as well as other natural remedies that employ pressure points and magnetic pulses.
I've used those. They're pretty good.
If you prefer to try the pharmaceutical side, medications like Dramamine or Scopolamine are very popular. But remember that if you decide to try one of them, be careful. They can have side effects like drowsiness and dry mouth, and we know that fatigue and dehydration are not a diver's friends. So test them on land well before you dive to see how you react, and be aware that drugs wear off. So you'll want to consider that in your dive planning.
So what you're saying is that I've got options.
You do indeed. You just have to try them and find out what works best for you and what doesn't.
And if none of them do?
If you gotta go, use the leeward side, and don't use the marine head. It just can't handle it. Stay outside in the fresh air and try to drink fluids as much as possible so you stay hydrated. And above all, remember that it's no big deal.
Yeah, okay. Well, you know, there's no shame in seasickness. It's common, and it can be uncomfortable.
but it can lead to dive risk, too. So do what you can to minimize seasickness or prevent it altogether. Whether you beat it or it beats you, just remember to take care of yourself. Do that, and you're guaranteed damn good diving.
That was beautiful.
Only you can prevent diving accidents. Divers Alert Network is your dive safety organization. With your support, Dan will continue to provide the research, service, and benefits to make your next dive a safe dive. So don't be a dinghy. Join Dan today by calling 1-800-446-2671.
All right, so from Nick Bird, we go to...
She is home to the
Jonathan Bird, who is has his TV show on PBS. He is on Scuba Radio right now. Jonathan, how are you? Welcome to Scuba Radio.
Hey, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
So, Jonathan, it's been a while since we've had you on the show. Jonathan Bird's Blue World has been on, it's been on PBS, I believe, for what, 3 years now? Is that what the deal is, or what?
Yeah, it's been on since 2008, which you'd think that in that amount of time we'd have more seasons out, but it takes so long to make a season. We're actually, we just released the third season, and we're shooting the fourth now.
Nice. So, and you know, Jonathan, if you don't know, you can go to the website blueworldtv.com and get more information about this TV show. I see the listing on my DirecTV all the time, and I've seen a couple episodes. It's a really amazingly shot TV show, and you got all kinds of accolades, awards, Emmys, God knows, Oscars. I don't know, just tons of stuff. You've been doing this a while, Jonathan. So the TV show, did it kind of come as a, you know, is a an outlet of that, all that work you had done in the past, or was this just a new passion, or what?
Well, you know, it's kind of a funny story how it evolved. I had the idea for the show a few years back, and I wanted to do sort of an educational underwater crocodile hunter kind of show.
Right.
Maybe not quite so goofy as the Crocodile Hunter, a little more serious, but very educational. And we wrote a proposal, we shopped it around, and it was funny because nobody wanted to get involved unless they knew who the host was going to be. And I wanted a sort of a goofy, fun host, and you know, I envisioned myself as the director, you know, not the host.
Right.
And my wife said, you know, you're the goofiest guy I know, you should be the host. And I'm like, okay, but if I'm the host, who's going to shoot it? So we came up with this idea where, you know, I'm the host and one of the cameramen, so I travel with another cameraman, so there's some shots of me doing my thing, and my camera's perspective is, you know, my sort of first-person view on the world in the show, and that's how the whole thing kind of evolved to be the way it is now.
About the challenges of you being able to get that shot that you want to achieve at this place or with that animal or this animal, right?
That's the basic premise of the show, except that we always have the story always revolves around trying to solve a mystery or trying to discover a behavior, and we always approach every segment with a very strong story angle. It's never just, oh, I want to get a shot of this, because I think that's a little bit boring and predictable, and by having it be very strongly story integrated, it makes people want to watch to the end and see what happens. You know what I mean? It kind of sucks you in.
Yeah, and these storylines and these goals that you have, I would imagine they're personal goals that you kind of want to achieve, and that kind of, you know, makes you, you can tell you have an enthusiasm for getting into this particular situation with a shark or whatever it may be, right?
Well, I mean, you know, Greg, it's this is a bucket list type of thing. I mean,
right.
I get to do whatever I can think up for this show within reason of our budget. So yeah, I mean, I think to myself, what do I want to do that would be so cool? Oh man, I want to go swim with great white sharks. Well, let's do a segment about that, you know?
Sure.
So it's great fun because it lets me go off and have adventures that I would otherwise want to do anyway, right? You know, so I get to call it work.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that is, I mean, but it comes across, your enthusiasm comes across on the show in that regard. Now, I want to talk about some of the challenges you've had over the years and maybe even very recently shooting the show, because it doesn't go as smoothly as you would like it to every time, I'm guessing. Is that a fair assessment or what?
Oh, that is definitely a fair assessment. When we set out to make a list of the segments we're hoping to shoot for a season, there are always ones that we put into three different categories, right? So there's the ones that are pretty predictable. You know that, like, a shipwreck in the Great Lakes probably isn't going anywhere. You have a pretty good chance that if you go out there to film it, you're going to get it. Then there's stuff that's kind of so-so, like, you know, if you go to North Carolina to shoot sand tiger sharks, you could get blown out. So you might sort of, you know, there's a danger that that might not work out, but mostly it's if you stay for a week or, you know, 10 days, you're going to have enough days, you're probably going to get the segment.
Right. All right. It's blueworldtv.com. More coming up.
Would you like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Hosting a radio show about scuba diving and boating is one of the best gigs on the planet. It's actually part of my job to check out and report on cool new products I personally use to enhance my diving and boating adventures. However, I do believe in sharing the joy, and this is why we've added Nanook protective hard cases to our list of products you can now purchase on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Nanook cases are designed to protect the most sensitive equipment in the harshest environments. Underwater photographers, listen up. From their high-impact NK7 resin to their exclusive power claw latches, Nanook has raised the bar for those of you that demand the best protection for your gear. Plus, Nanook protective cases cost less than similar products currently on the market. The company has been around for over 15 years, but it's new to the U.S., so we've made a small number of Nanook cases available exclusively for you at a special introductory price on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Go there now and check out Nanook, the evolution of protection.
I'm always the first to run low on air.
I'm adjusting my BCD all the time.
It feels that I spent half my dive swimming back to the dive boat and on the surface.
You can learn to improve your diving so that you can feel more confident with your skills and more comfortable in the water thanks to the Professional Association of Dive Instructors. Peak Performance Buoyancy and the Navigation Specialty Course are just a few of the many PADI offerings to consider. Visit PADI.com to find the PADI Dive Center nearest you. PADI, the way the world learns to dive.
Bula, that's the greeting you get from the smiling, generous Fijians who welcome you to Fiji. And while Fiji's friendly people, white sand beaches, rainforest, and waterfalls are a huge draw for any traveler, divers in the know consider Fiji the soft coral capital of the world. With direct regular flights from LAX on Air Pacific, it's never been easier to live your Fiji experience. Go to FijiMe.com to book dive packages from backpacker to five-star spa resorts. That's FijiMe.com.
Okay, Jonathan Bird from BlueWaterTV.com is on with us right now. It's Jonathan's Jonathan Bird's Blue Water. Is that the name of the show? Is that the official title, Jonathan? I want to make sure I get it right.
Everybody wants to add a big in there.
Yeah.
It's Jonathan Bird's Blue World.
Blue World, that's what it is. Okay. BlueWorldTV.com is the website. And it's on PBS, third season airing right now. And we've talked about a little bit already about some of the challenges you have, because basically you go around filming some cool things, things that you want to do personally, and you know, you invite the listeners along to kind of share this journey with you and some of the challenges that you encounter. After doing this for three seasons now, can you give me like one of the highlights, or probably one of the most challenging times that you've had filming this thing and trying to capture whatever critter or destination or underwater marine environment that you're trying to get? Well, give me a couple, maybe. What do you think?
Well, definitely one of the highlights was Antarctica. We went for season two, we went to Antarctica, and that was just phenomenal. You know, it's funny because the diving was, you know, it was just the whole experience of going there and seeing that stuff and just being in that environment. That place is just really amazing. And because of Blue World, I've gotten to go to the Galapagos a couple times. I really love the Galapagos. I love them a lot. So that's just phenomenal diving. But, you know, you talk about hardships. We've definitely had quite a few difficult shoots where we don't get anything or we get very little and we end up without a segment, and that's horrible on your budget.
Yeah, well, I bet.
We went down to the Bahamas a couple of years ago for Great Hammerheads, to do a segment on Great Hammerheads, and we were there for 10 days chumming and floating, and we didn't see any Great Hammerheads, not a single one.
Really? Where was this at?
Right out of the northern part of the Bahamas, up where Jim Abernathy and all the sharky guys go for tiger sharks. There's
right.
some spots there for great hammerheads as well. You got to get out over the drop off.
Sure,
but those animals are just very, you know, it's hit or miss. Sometimes right, you get them, sometimes you don't.
Yeah, you got skunked.
Skittish.
The drop off.
We got skunked, man.
The drop off. You're taking the kids out to the drop off.
Oh yeah, we take the kids out to the drop off. We drop them off.
Well, they chummed for a while, and the sharks didn't show up, so the kids made it back safely.
And then Pete Sherman shows up and takes your kid and puts him in an aquarium in a dentist's office. That's the worst thing I've ever heard.
I know. It's terrible.
That's my producer. That's why, you know, it's like every episode.
I have a 2-year-old, and I have seen this show a million times.
Okay.
Well, have you really?
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah, and yeah, and Jonathan,
I have to say, two is very young. We get a lot of emails from parents of, like, 6-7-year-olds that say their kids are addicted to the show. Yeah. Like, I was addicted to Jacques Cousteau when I was that age. But two is very young. I'm surprised.
The girl's a genius.
Well, look at her
dad.
Well,
that's good.
Well, look at her dad. It's a conundrum for sure.
Here's the thing. Every time she sees a diver, she thinks it's me because there's a picture of me in a wetsuit in the hallway. So every time she sees a diver on TV, she says, "It's Daddy." And then she watches it.
I mean, Daddy, you look so much better on TV.
It's slimming. It's the neoprene. There's nothing I can do.
Yes, exactly. That's what it is.
It's slimming.
Yeah, but Jonathan, you do have a very clean, it's almost like the opposite of what we do here at Scuba Radio. It is open to all ages, and that's good. I mean, you're appealing to maybe a slightly younger demographic, or all ages for that matter, because it is very kid-oriented as well as, you know, showing some amazing footage of some critters and that kind of thing. Do you have a favorite animal? I mean, you mentioned the great hammerheads, but any other particular critters that you like to film?
He's got a dog he likes.
A dog?
Well, you know, there's two things I wanted to answer about that. The first thing is that, you know, we don't write the show for kids, but we do keep it clean. We write it for a family audience. I like to tell people we write it the same way that someone writes a newspaper article. It's written for the average person. We don't write down to kids, and we find that kids really respond to that. If they don't know a word, they'll figure it out. You know, kids don't like shows that are dumbed down for them. I think a lot of kids shows that are on TV are what adults think kids would like, not what kids will like, and that's why kids respond so strongly to our show, because if you watch it as an adult, you won't feel like you're watching this thing that was created for kids. You know, it's a fun show that's clean.
It is not a kid's show by any stretch of the imagination, but it's accessible. It's family oriented.
You know, that being said, probably 85% of our demographic is, you know, under 12.
Yeah. Just the luck of the draw
for your
programming block, I'm guessing, or something, right?
Yeah, it just appeals to that age group. You know
sure.
what I mean?
They like fish.
You know, we definitely get a lot of divers that watch the show, but for the most part, when adults are watching it, if they're not divers, they tend to be the parents of the kids that are watching it.
Right, right. Now, but favorite critters? I think one of the latest episodes features sea lions. What about them?
Yeah.
You like filming those guys or no?
You know, I am always I'm always into anything that's a marine mammal or a shark. I like any animal that's as big as me. It's just more interesting to film. You know what I mean? Like, nudibranchs are great, but, you know, let's face it, sea lions are more interesting than that. So, yeah sea lions, seals, dolphins, whales especially. Anything that's much bigger than you is really exciting to get in the water with.
Well, good point. Yeah, I'm doing a week live aboard and the Dominican Republic at the end of January. Have you done that?
Oh, yeah. We did that for season 3. Boy, that's great fun.
It's good stuff, huh? Okay, so you give it the Jonathan Bird seal of approval?
Yes.
Yeah, see? That was Bill. All right, there you go. Go to blueworldtv.com, and you can get all the information you need about Jonathan's Big Blue World TV show on PBS.
There's no big in it, by the way.
No big, that's right.
Blue World.
Blue World. Jonathan's Blue World. Jonathan Bird's Blue World. BlueWorldTV.com. All right, hour two of Scuba Radio is on deck. Stay close to the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated. Scuba
Radio. This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.